Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, great band, Dandy Warhol's Zia McCabe comes in, talks about her life in the band, the doc about the band. Just a really cool, interesting interview. And she corrects me a half a dozen times right at the top of the show because for the first time in a while, I did not know what I was talking about. What can you do? If you're a fan of this band, you could have heard it 5 days ago, commercial free at gasdigital.com. Now with a 14-day free trial, SDR14, which is working for spring. I believe most of spring. Welcome to warm weather, hopefully. Just go to gasdigital.com, use the code SDR14, and you'll get a 14-day free trial. Try it out. I promise you, you'll be happy. Every episode we've ever done, tons of cool rock bands, some wild shows with Big J Okerson on the Wednesday shows. We do two a week. And every episode of every show on Gas Digital ever at gasdigital.com. Use code SDR14. But here it is right now, the Dandy Warhols episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
All righty, it is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back in the studio once again, which now you get all the heavy hitters.
You goddamn right I do, champ.
Yeah, normally, you're new to the show, Zia, but we'll intro you in a second. James is my second co-host. Is that a fair way to put it?
Look, no one here, I think, is a sports person. I am the backup quarterback, but I get a lot of reps.
Yeah, he used to complain because he would just get the Zooms, and then if he wouldn't get any of the big bands, but since...
I don't think I ever complained. You've created... In wrestling, they say that you've worked yourself into a shoot. You've worked this. This is a work that is now a shoot to
you.
You
had the Go-Go's?
I've had many great
people.
You had
Glenn Matlock?
Yeah.
Who else did you get? You got some of the big ones.
Plenty, because I deserve it.
Yeah. Did you get Ace? You had Ace Frehley?
I had Ace Frehley, who was so shitty to me, and it was so heartbreaking.
Aww.
I threw away the toy.
No, did you really?
I had an action figure. I left it at an apartment because I'm like, he soured me.
That's funny. That happened when Gene, when this show was in my house, Gene Simmons was in the studio, came into my house to do the show. And I mean, I had interviewed a couple times on the radio show, so I know he's not the most easy get along with guy.
Yeah.
But he was promoting a casinos. They were releasing a Kiss casino. And my co-host, a comic, said, why did you not call it a casino? Like, and you could see he was so mad that he didn't come up with the idea himself. He just, like, fucking tuned the fuck out.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
So James Madden back in once again. Thank you so much for doing the show.
This is
and now, very interesting woman. By the way, said, I've known the band forever. I used to be a strip club DJ.
I never heard
so
that from you
boy,
before.
Did we used to play... you know, a lot of Dandy Warhols back in the day. They were good with the chickadoos.
Did you play Get Off?
Played Get Off, and of course, Not If You're the Last Drunk on Earth, and then a few others. But it always went over well with the rock chicks in the strip clubs. New album's coming out called Rock Maker on March 15th. The newest single, I know it's you didn't come up with the title, Courtney did, but Danzig With Myself, very fucking funny
spectacular
title. And I found out the guy never met Danzig. There's your time to meet Glenn Danzig.
It's better not to sometimes.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
hear the rumors on the street, baby. It's probably better not to.
She's also formerly known as DJ Rescue way back in the day. It's still, that was your DJ name for a hot minute 10 years ago. I saw that online.
I DJed last night.
Oh, still under DJ Rescue.
Oh, yeah. I've been saving good parties from bad music since 2001.
Oh, that's damn
right.
You know what's funny? That I Googled it and it only older links said DJ Rescue. So I thought you abandoned the moniker.
No.
Okay, my bad. But formerly known as Amy Spring as well.
Amy Springer.
Springer, sorry. She is from the band The Dandy Warhols.
That part's correct.
Great to have. I too had a third.
At one point, you got to hit the shot.
I was right about the name, just off on the time.
And you're two letters off.
One letter off.
That's my copy of
Springer.
Springe.
Yeah, Springe I had. I just and it's Zia from the Dandy Warhols and from Brush Prairie. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I like that once you heard the title was Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, oh, that's why they picked me.
Yeah, they don't ask Peter to do those ones.
Yeah, for sure. But Courtney, so the story with Courtney, I told you I had a sort of a story with Courtney from years ago. My ex-girlfriend, we stay friends forever. She's doinked a lot of rock stars. She didn't have sex with them, but they were at a bar somewhere. This is like in 2000, maybe 2001. And she thought he said, which is the dumbest thing in the world. They still make fun of her for this to this day, that he said, because she was with her girlfriend. They're both pretty girls. And she thought he said, do you like rugs? And she said, yeah, I love rugs. Who would say rugs?
Nobody.
It was drugs.
Definitely.
So now always, because they were all went out to party somewhere afterwards. I don't know. Maybe she did. I have no fucking idea. But then for years, I would always call and say, hey, Dawn, do you have a good Afghan I can get?
It's really great.
You know, like,
it's a good inside joke.
Yeah. Pakistan rug.
Yeah, she really believed it as that he was asking. Like, who would ask that at a bar? So stupid.
Do you got any good bearskins? I mean, yeah. I don't know too many rugs, so yeah, I don't know if I can keep
Afghan,
this joke in the
I know
air.
Oriental, maybe.
Can you even...
You can say, they're still called Oriental rugs. You can still
lambskin.
Say that.
Lambskin. Thank you.
What's the one with the, is it a cat? What did you say it was? Bearskin. Bearskin, you said. Right?
Bearskin.
Yeah. Someone wanted me to get a fake bearskin rug for my house. I think that's weird. I don't like it. Strange.
I mean, it's 2024. Who the fuck needs a goddamn bearskin rug?
And a fake one.
It's a hot take. I'm sorry. I got to do it.
I would never hurt an animal, but I was a hunter and I killed an animal. Maybe that I would bring home if I was
If you were a hunter, you killed an animal, you probably should brag about it.
Yeah.
The animal would want you. It's like, you're going to take my life, brag about the shit.
I could never hurt an animal. Well, you don't know. If I was on a desert island and I had to survive, maybe I'd kill an animal. I don't fucking know. All right. So here's the parts. We'll start with way back in the day. First of all, you three, the three main members, together 30 years this year, right? I think 94?
Yeah, June 20 will be my 30-year anniversary. I'm going to tattoo a tambourine on my left thigh.
Oh, you really?
I love
That's
it.
That's awesome.
I don't think I'll even feel it. It's so dead from hitting it with a tambourine. All those. Oh my God. It might be the most painless tattoo I've ever
had. We could get a giant ass callus from doing that all the time.
You can't see it, but it doesn't bruise. It's not the same.
That's pretty wild.
I'm like a Muay Thai fighter just from...
Sure.
If we're going to fight, just hit me in this section.
Just these 8 inches, yeah.
No, speaking of that. So here's the thing that I found when I'm doing my research on you, and I don't know if this is public knowledge or not, but we go back to when you were younger. You literally grew up, which sounds like fake, but in an actual log cabin that your father built.
This is true. He still lives there.
He still lives there, and originally no... plumbing, there was no bathroom.
No, we lived in this tiny room behind the shop. So the shop, he could still work on cars and bring in money, live in this little one room that had cold running water and a wood stove. I slept on the couch and my parents slept up in this little loft that, you know, stay out of the way of the, you could put the ladder up during the day. There was no bathroom and that was 3 years. So
what year, how old were you?
Infant.
Infant.
Toddler. Oh, so yeah. I do remember him sitting me on this like rusty oil can to try to make it a bathroom. And just looking at him going, I'm going inside in my warm diaper, thank you. I'm not going to sit out here on this freezing cold oil drum. Once the log cabin was built, I was immediately potty trained because there was a civilized option.
And he's been there now for...
the whole time, 49 years.
Has the log cabin gotten bigger? Has he made changes to it? Or he's a simple man with simple needs?
He lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And so he needed to move a bedroom to the main floor and a bigger bathroom. So he added on to the back. And now he's added on to the front to make the whole thing sort of just wall-to-wall windows to look out at the property.
That's wild. That's cool. He's like, I'm so not handy. Did you pick up some of that handiwork where you like to build things? I know like you could experiment musically, but like would you put up something?
I mean, I did welding, I did auto. I was a good welder. Wow. All of them.
First time that sentence has ever been uttered on this show.
I
was a good welder. Put that fucking clip that right now, Rebecca. Shit.
I thought I was getting into sculpture. First I thought I was gonna be a dancer, then I thought I was getting into sculpture. Some of the stuff I didn't put the time in like he did, but I have a knack for it. Sure.
And so like you said, your focus originally, at least in your formative years, was going to be a dancer. That was the plan.
That was the early ones. Yeah.
And then at some point, I don't know. I know that he asked you to be in the band for lack of better words, 'cause he said you were fearless and you were just confident, even though you didn't really know how to play an instrument yet.
That's what he says.
He just liked your moxie. Is that a good word?
It's a great word.
It's where you're staying. It makes sense. It all ties together. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So
I think you just doxed me.
Yeah. that's kind of cool. You just went and did that, right? I mean, it's pretty
wild. Yeah, I mean, I was obviously so massively rewarded for just walking into a situation that I technically had, you know, almost no qualifications for. I had good rhythm. And fearlessness. I mean, and those aren't qualifications, but I certainly didn't really know how to play an instrument. And when you get rewarded like that, you try to make that a thing you do in life. So I really, really try to adhere to that. Who cares? Show up anyway. You might be the only one, which makes you the most qualified immediately.
Right.
Or whatever, you learn something and leave. Like, it's not that big a deal.
So a friend of yours told you that Courtney was looking for someone to join the band or something like that.
I was working at a Starbucks over the Christmas holiday, and a guy was in a band. And to me, I didn't realize they're the same people. There's people you go see at concerts, and then there's people you work with at Starbucks. They're not the same person. Those are musicians.
Yeah.
And so my mind's being blown. I'm like, you're in a band. You go and play shows on stage with other musicians, with instruments. He's like, yeah, bro, that's what I do. And I thought for a minute, I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm doing that. He goes, that's not how it works. I'm like, well, I am a master manifester, so you just let me know if you hear of something. He rolled his eyes, and I go back to college, and he fucks off to wherever. And 5 months later, pre-cell phones, phone numbers in my hand on college campus. He didn't go to school with me. But yeah, he knew Courtney, and Courtney was lamenting that once his girlfriend left, all the guys he tried out had bad habits. He didn't like their style. Mm-hmm. He wanted someone moldable, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So if you've got the raw materials here, quick learner, good rhythm, cue, you know, got some sort of charismatic presence, not scared of him, which, you know, he kind of regretted later, but...
Because you said in one interview, by the way, that you're like the only one that will be and confront him at times when it needs to be
done.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm the muscle, and sometimes you have to turn the muscle on your own, you know. Yeah. You got to tell him something that they disagree with.
Right.
We get along great. I mean,
obviously,
really,
it's 30 years if you didn't get along great.
We've gotten to such a cool place together, and that doesn't mean I think he's perfect. I still am annoyed by the same things, but I love him so much. And you got to sweep some stuff under the carpet. I'm not going to change him.
Right. At this point,
God damn.
Maybe if you were all still in your, you were 19, he was 20 something, right? So 26 or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe back then, if you had the wherewithal, you could change habits. The older we get, the more digged into our heels of our personality we are.
But I think the things we changed about each other was stop trying to change each other.
That's huge.
Because, you know, you know what your problem is? No, I don't care what you think my problem is, man. It's just a waste of time for everybody. To an extent, sure, you can have some heart to hearts, but going around being mad about people's flaws all the time is just like you're just gonna wear yourself out.
But it also, you have to, because you guys are, I mean, the three of you mainly, one, the fourth guy has been in for a while, but the three main people, it's 30 years. If you don't at least have able to talk about when something bothers you, you'll probably get to a point where you can never walk into a room with each other again, I would imagine.
I don't know. You know, it's a little counterintuitive. I also want to say Brent's been with us for 27 years.
Yeah, 27
years. We're still friends with Eric, but we see Brent as our main drummer. We have another guy that rolls through once in a while when we need him, since Brent lives in Australia. Mm-hmm. But it's way more sweeping it under the carpet than you would think.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Because we all have friends that you get into fucking arguments with, and then you don't talk. Like right now, two of my best friends since I'm 13, we haven't talked in 6 months because we had a fucking blowout, and now we're just not talking, you know?
Yeah, I have a friend that's doing that right now, and I'm like, man, life is a little
I don't care. He just doesn't want to talk. What are you going to do?
Hey, there's been times where me and Peter didn't talk for a year.
Wow.
A whole year.
It's funny.
His girlfriend didn't like me.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's not real.
And finally, you're like, can we just go to a Primal Scream concert together or something?
It'll be a good one to make peace.
And by the way, one thing that I listened to as many interviews, I fucked up some of the information already, but
it came close, baby.
Came close.
It came close.
Yeah, I was interested.
I'm not mad.
But you and I have something in common. You described the dichotomy of you as having the artsy side and the math side, which normally don't live in the same person.
It's true.
Where you like to be creative, but you also are, and I heard Courtney say this too, you are the finance person for the Dandy Warhols. You're the guy that, you're the one that kind of decides the financings for a lot of things. Right?
Yeah, I mean, partially because I want to. I don't want my math mind to atrophy. I want to use that, the side of me that gives me an aptitude for engineering and business, which, you know, carried over really well into real estate. But it's also burdensome, right? It's tedious, it's extra work, and it's a constant. Each time we get a new accountant, somehow my job gets described as bigger as it was the last time. And I'm like, why am I reviewing these contracts? What's going on right now? Do I have to do this? I don't have to do this. Why am I doing this? But then I also feel proud that my brain can keep growing and living up to these new challenges. So it's mixed feelings for me.
Right. I have the same, because I ran restaurants for a long time and I worked in that world, but I don't like being good at that. I wish I wasn't.
Yeah, I want to go play. Yeah, my friends are playing outside. Yeah,
exactly. And I fucking hate it. Like, for the first 4 years of this company, I was the one doing all the checks. We didn't have an accountant. I was doing everything. I fucking built our first website. I fucking hated it, but it had to get done.
Well, and here's the thing. At this size of band, you have to, if you're going to keep a tour bus and keep going at the, you know, the 1,400 seat venues in the bigger cities and the, you know, 700, 800 seat venues in the smaller tertiary markets, you, a certain extent has to be DIY. You cannot afford to be asleep at the wheel. Your boat has 20 holes at any given time where the little sliver of profit, like a restaurant, the little sliver of profit just goes away. Yeah. And you're standing there going, we just worked for 2 months and made all these crew money and booking agents money, and we're negative $48 each.
Right. Like, it is fucking crazy. Happened? People think, especially like when the Dandy Warhols blew up, when that song was in the Vodafone and then your guys are fucking everywhere, people think, oh, you just have millions of dollars. Like when we had Dave Mustaine from Megadeth on, every day on their tour, their bigger tour, every day it's $50,000, even if you're not playing. It's more money.
Days off are expensive.
Yeah, days off are fucking expensive. People don't get them.
But if you don't take them, you fall apart.
Yeah.
We're on day 5 right now, and it feels like day 40 because we're all middle age, and it's like 2 days on the bus, and you just can't even believe what happened to your body.
Yeah.
I'm already bloated and have arthritis. I'm like,
it's the worst.
You just got to sleep on that one good section of your butt that's calloused over so you can sleep well.
Right.
All right, before we go any further, I've said this before. We got to do this on the show. It is called Capsulite, CAPSULYTE, Prevent the Awful Day After Drinking. By the way, on last week's show, I got fucking tanked, then got to go out and run in the morning. I got to get more of this shit. You take them before you drink, during drinking, and then you feel much better the next day. We got to bring this on the show again. We should do a full-on taste test or drinking test and see how it works. It is the most most potent product on the market. It is doctor formulated. It supports your liver. Everything you want to feel the next day from when you're doing power drinking like we're doing. We should do it on the Power Hour for TTI as well. That would be fun. Why wouldn't we? It makes no sense. All right, right now what we also have is a 30% coupon code. If you go to capsulite.com, use the promo code GAST, you're going to get 30% off your Capsulite order to pregame and prevent feeling awful the day after drinking. So once again, you go to Capsulite, which is spelled CAPSULYTE.com. You use the code GASH, you're going to get 30% off and feel like a new person the day after drinking, which, holy shit, do I need that today. All right, let's get back into it.
So what's funny is you go back to when you're 19 and he asks you to come in and join the become this band. Hilarious that you didn't even know who Andy Warhol was.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I grew up in a log cabin. Yeah. My dad built the speakers that we played the old records on.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Willie Nelson, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath. It was an amazing record collection.
The trio.
Tons of Stones, tons of Beatles, you know, Hot Tuna. There was some really cool
Hot Tuna.
Tangerine Dream was in there. Oh. I didn't need to go anywhere besides this amazing record collection, have my mind blown daily for several years. It was a long time before I'd worked my way through this collection and needed to venture out. And so contemporary art, it just wasn't available really. I mean, it was 8 miles just to a store.
Wow.
So we didn't have cable. It 80% finished. So we were these liberals inside of this fundamentalist Christian one light town.
Was, and I don't mean to pry too personally, but was your father, was he a single father or were your parents together?
No. My parents stayed together miserably, utterly miserably until finally, you know, the kids were grown. But Yeah, that they've hated each other.
That's such a Gen X thing, though, isn't it?
What?
Stay like, when I meet younger folks, just they don't see. It seems like parents are together, or that you never had them from the jump. There's kind of a charm to knowing that people stay together just to try and keep you from being a mess. I kind of like that tension in the house was fun.
It was weird.
I like it.
I think you fuck up the kids.
When you're yelling, oh, I kind of love it. I miss a good fight.
You're teaching the kids that a shitty relationship is what a relationship should be, is what I think.
That's why I could walk in and be in a band with three men that have bad communication skills.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, do you think that's why the choices I've made are the choices I've made in relationships?
My parents got divorced when I was 4. And then
supposed to be the worst age. Statistically.
It was not great.
I'm
54 and single, and I have not had I've not told a girl I love you in over 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, over 10 years.
So you're 44 the last time you did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I won't say it if I don't mean it. I don't want to be a douchebag.
I might have done that last summer. Whoopsie.
Yeah, I don't like to do that. I just don't like to do that. And then, what's interesting again, like you described yourself, which I can see that you're kind of like the glue for the band, right? And you provide this. But you get it the second I've never met you before, but the second you walk in, you have like an aura, an energy, however you want to fucking describe it, that people gravitate towards, right? And there's a story that I loved is when you first got signed to Capitol, you would roller skate around Capitol Records to just become friends with A&R guys because they're going to decide which band am I pushing. Oh, the cool roller skating girl or this guy that fucking fucked me over. I'm going to go with the cool roller skating girl.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to those personal relationships. And it worked really well with all the college radio.
Right.
But, of course, the regime changed every time there was a new record. I didn't have it in. I was actually kind of heartbroken that it was all new people each record because I thought we were really, truly building this, like, up to and maybe beyond a decades-long career, and it's not. Everybody's just getting... That whole thing was just starting to crumble. The House of Cards was coming down, and people were getting hired and fired left and right, and we just sort of, like, tumbled through it and came out. We didn't drown. We didn't get knocked under permanently, but it was a weird time to be part of the major labels. But
it was like the last hurrah for major labels around that
time. It was.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird thing to be. An exciting thing to be part of that time in history. Try to fit in where I'm needed. I like solving problems. I feel like I have a pretty rational mind and can, you just know when you're seeing something clearer than the person next to you is seeing it.
Right.
And that's not always great because then you're like, oh, this is me again to fix that. Okay, cool.
But it's weird because not to tell you, usually the artsy, bohemian-y kind of vibey chick is not the one who's also the sensible, oh, I need to do A, B, and C. And that's, you have that dichotomy, that hybrid of the both
sides.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that a Gemini thing? Because I am definitely also like the party slut of the band. So,
merch.
Yeah.
I'd buy that shirt.
You started merch. You started with doing merch for the band, right? Like when you're in the band, that was the thing you
saw. We brought the suitcase. We found it when we were getting the merch because me and Peter oversee the merch. And I found the old suitcase that I would open side stage.
That's so fucking cool.
I mean, knocked up even sometimes, just like waiting to, hit the Planned Parenthood in New York on the middle of tour to take care of that unfortunate situation and be selling, shirts and throwing up in traffic.
You ever put a sign up, I need at least 40 shirts sold so I can pay for the abortion?
Dudes pay for the abortion. Right. That's
please,
how it works.
Please, wow. Please.
I paid for two in my life. And one I'm not even sure was mine, but I just paid for it.
What percentage is that of ones you've paid for then?
Oh, no,
what's your shooting percentage?
No, which is an ongoing thing.
We want some statistics here.
I haven't had sex without a condom in over 20 years. I'm super sensible with that. I just won't do it. That's why I think one of them was not me, because...
You did the right thing.
I wore a condom.
Now, do you think if there is a heaven, that like something bad you did, does that cancel out something bad you did? They're like, look... You cheated on your taxes, you did this and that, but you paid for an abortion for a child that isn't yours. Get it?
Yeah, I think
Do you think
should.
That happens?
I think it should.
I think you're just canceling out the nutted part that happened earlier. I mean,
could be. Could be. I mean,
you made that mess.
Also, I love that you are the Michael Clayton of the band. You are the fixer.
Who's Michael Clayton?
Oh, shit. You really don't know. Okay. So there's a movie that George Clooney did about a fixer.
Okay.
And it's called Michael. You would fucking lose your mind if you saw this.
Well, yeah,
movie.
The one I think that you could reference is the one where with what's his name?
Ray Donovan.
No, fucking more cowbell guy. I always forget his fucking word.
Christopher Walken.
When he comes in for what fucking movie is that? The story with the watch up the ass.
Pulp Fiction, but he's not the fixer. You've seen Pulp Fiction. Am I being so Harvey Keitel as the wolf?
Harvey Keitel's the fixer, right? Okay, that's what I meant. Okay. There we go.
Yeah, not the guy in the goddamn military suit with a watch up his ass.
Look, I had a rough week.
I've had a rough 46 years. What are you going
to
do?
By the way, let me tell you this. Sorry to cut you off, but I flew back from Paris Monday.
Well, that's
then
right.
We took our whole staff.
That's right.
17 of them. That's why it's a ghost town right now. Upstate skiing for 3 days. All they do is drugs. So much drugs.
Drugs? Or do they do...
Rugs. Rugs.
Like weed or all the drugs?
Everything.
Are they snorting bear skins?
They're snorting bear skins. They do so much. It's wild.
What a good gag, huh?
Yeah.
Are they in their 20s?
Mostly in their 20s and early 30s.
There you go. It hurts so much less.
Yeah. But some of them are not. Some of them are 40s and plus, you know, but...
I just call it fewer and further between.
Yeah. I was friends with the singer of Quiet Riot before he died, right? Kevin DeBro. And he said to me when he was in the band in the heyday, they'd party for 6 days and sleep for one. And then when he was 50, he'd party for 1 day and sleep for six, which is where you're at now.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and then he partied too hard, he died of fucking cocaine overdose. Fucking suck.
Ever tell you the one time I saw him in Vegas? At a Walgreens?
He used to live in Vegas, yeah.
Middle of the day, I just was done at UNLV, buying tampons. Good man.
Hilarious.
Buying tampons for his woman.
By the way, when I first started doing research for you, I knew you used to play on stage topless, right? I mean, I think everybody knew that, right? But I heard someone talking, and they said that you're a Buddhist. And I was listening, I'm like, Buddhist? Okay, cool. Did she? And I was like, no, and he's talking about getting naked. I'm like, oh, nudist. Like, I just misunderstood it and went back to how she said
nudist. Did the Dalai Lama say that?
Yeah.
Before we go a drop further, you know this company because they have been supporting the show for 4+ years. We're talking about Yo Kratom. If you love Kratom, why go anywhere else? You get it in those cool $60 kilos, all at YoKratom.com. High quality curated Kratom, unique strains, also unique blends, all available exclusively at YoKratom.com. Ship direct to you. If you're a fan of Kratom, literally go nowhere else but YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. And they have been sponsoring the show for 4 years. So help out the companies that help out this show. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. Let's get back into it.
Yeah. But there was one story I didn't understand what you said they were chanting. The time you said Courtney saved you from an audience of lunatics.
Oh, at Witness Festival.
Yeah. What were they chanting?
I think because they say kit, like your clothes, get your kit out. I don't know. It's slang. Either get your tits out or, but it sounded like it was, you get that for the la. And it's just getting loud. 30,000 people are chanting whatever the slang words they were saying. They were telling me to get my tits out.
Jesus Christ.
And like, no, duh. Yeah. That it was always a personal expression of just having the best damn time ever, right? And sweaty and just in it. And I looked over at Courtney, you know, pleading. He puts his head down and goes, fine, and just
took his shirt off.
Diffused the whole situation.
Spectacular.
That's cool. That's really cool of him.
It was a great response.
Also, by the way, Courtney, fucking good-looking dude. Goddamn good-looking dude.
Handsome fella, huh?
Jesus Christ. I watched some of the videos. I'm like, goddamn, this is a good-looking dude.
I didn't notice when I was younger because it was so kind of brotherly and ew, but when I look back on it, he's very,
it always
very
frustrates
beautiful.
Me when I see a guy that's good-looking, can sing, can play guitar. Like, goddamn it, that must have been a fun time.
You've never heard a podcast more that you would think wouldn't do this, but this podcast, you... compliments looks of men more than any podcast ever. He
love
will
it.
Go on a tangent like, good looking fella. You ever just glaze into his eyes?
Yeah. I mean, he was hypnotic in those fucking videos.
Hypnotic.
It's true. It's true.
Good looking fella.
Yeah, really, really was. But one thing I think is interesting, and I think it's good that you talk about this a lot because I don't think people realize how often this is a thing, which is that you suffer sometimes from imposter syndrome, where you think that you don't deserve to be where you are for whatever reason. And you told the story, and I'd like you to recant it, because it is, I think it's good for people to hear this with Massive Attack.
Yeah. Okay, so earlier when I talked about trying to continue that practice of just showing up for opportunities, don't let your doubt stay, you know, don't talk yourself out of it with some doubtful story that's made up. And we had a chance to record with Massive Attack and their electronic synthy guys. I've never played any instruments. The requirements up to that point had still been pretty minimal. I was in the infant stages of being a musician and fulfilling my duties, so not really pushing myself. And we were going to go hang out with them in Bristol. And I completely freaked out. I was like, they are going to know I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
They're going to know I'm a total fake. And I'm just a poser, right? I'm just here to be cute. And that was like kind of disheartening. And so I didn't go. And then I woke up furious with myself for letting the doubt get the best of me. And I'm like, McCabe, you would not have this life if this is the way you responded to these kinds of opportunities. Mm-hmm. You made a deal with yourself to keep going because that has given you reward. There's no reward in the choice that you just made. Zero. Right. You get nothing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so we got a second chance, which is like, oh, do you want to go with Massive Attack again? Like, how does that even happen? So I showed up terrified. I mean, like, my palms were sweaty. I didn't want to be there. I did not want to be there. And they were so chill, of mm-hmm. course. And they set me up in this room full of synths, all going into the same mixers, with some gel projectors and lava lamps. And this is the first time I'd been left alone in a room with instruments to even see what my vibe is mm-hmm. without
a group around you.
With Courtney and those guys standing over, oh, one take wonder. Oh, good, good. It's our turn now. So I hadn't had this time to develop. And it was just so transformative and so life-changing. I still thought what I was turning in was probably garbage. And it was, I didn't want to share. I was really scared. And those parts got used and became foundational in several tracks that then went on to be on the next record. And Brent, our drummer, was like, Zia, we were down at the end of the bar they were getting so drunk. They didn't do anything but drink in that bar. Yeah. Peter worked really hard, but those guys, they blew it in their own way. And they came and worked on the tracks at a different time, so it's fine. But knowing that when I was left alone there and that my contributions had value doesn't mean I still don't have those feelings.
Right.
But again, it was so rewarding for showing up. And I'm not saying you'll win every time you show up.
No, just show up.
But you lose every time you don't.
You don't.
Your odds are better for showing up. And it's a thing you can practice and it doesn't get less scary. You just know you're going to survive the fear. It's a temporary thing you pass through.
I actually love to put myself in situations where I know I'm going to fuck up. Because, like, all right, I'm going to fucking suck at this, but then I'll get better. I'm not an idiot. That's I'll figure it out. You know, so it's just, you're going to suck at it. Everyone sucks at the beginning.
There's
Who the
no
fuck cares?
Just yes later.
Well, I think the biggest mistake of the people who don't put themselves out there versus who do is the ones who don't perceive the ones that do as not feeling the same
way
as them.
Or that they have some secret knowledge that you don't, which
We're
is never the fucking case.
We're all scared. Yeah. You just have to. That leap, that push through that little veil, it's a veil. It's actually an impermanent thing. You just have to trust that it's temporary.
And then what I thought was fascinating, because the Dandy Warhols, especially in the early days, no set lists, just kind of vibes, figuring it out. But when Bowie endorsed you guys, and when Bowie came side stage with his band to watch you guys, is when you're like, yeah, maybe we should fucking put a playlist together and a set list and actually have a structure to this.
We did not have time to debate in the arenas when we're opening for Bowie.
So amazing.
It's a 30-minute set. You want to play 30 minutes of music, not me and Courtney talking to each other for 5 minutes in between.
If anyone was going to appreciate that, though, that would be Bowie.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But when you can't go past a certain time because you get... find out the wazoo.
You got to bang the hits, right?
Yeah. You got it. And you got to know. I mean, I can time our sets really accurately.
Oh, yeah, hard out.
Even 24 song sets. I know how long those sets are going to be.
Right. And you're still the one that's doing that. You said you keep like you're the one that figures out what needs
to be
done.
It's like DJing, you know? Yeah. So I like thinking about how the flow goes and what the listener experience is like. I've been to a lot of shows, you know? I want to create an experience that's cohesive and the guys don't want to do it. They're into it. I mean, we all have input, but...
I like that, by the way, because as a fan of music, you always want to go see the hits. But if you're also, if you go deep dive into a band, maybe you don't want to see the hits. You want to see the other things. And a story that I really got a kick out of is you yelling at the Specials for not doing this song you wanted
they
to hear.
They got lectured. You can't not play Ghost Town.
It's a great bucket song.
And it's really funny, though, because this is not like this was, you were 19. You were already... In the Dandy world, you're like, well, I came to fucking see you guys.
I go, I have to play Bohemian like you every night. Yeah. That is my job.
Yeah.
It's not always my favorite song. That's what I do at work. Yeah. you guys play Ghost Town.
That's
we're
really
still
fun.
Friends.
That's
we all
fucking
became
great,
friends.
Though. I really do
that.
That
is so interesting, though. Like, I always like when I go see someone to leave one or two, if you got a bunch, leave a couple bangers out. I saw Garbage years ago, like at college. It was a good show. I never have to see them again. They played everything. They played the goddamn Romeo and Juliet song.
Oh, that's funny.
Which they didn't have to. And it's like, well, what do I got to see you again?
Yeah, I get it.
I felt let down that they didn't let us down.
Hey guys, this is Shannon again. We are going to end the episode right here. If you want to listen to the second half of the episode, you can go right on over to gasdigital.com, use promo code SDR14, and you will get a 2-week free trial. And with that free trial, you can get the full unedited versions of every SDR show, including this one, as well as every other show on the Gas Digital Network. You get shows sooner. You can take part in the live chat. And there's bonus content, plenty of bonus content for the SDR show, as well as all the other shows that is exclusive content only for Gas Digital members. So if you have been wanting to subscribe for a while and been putting it off, now's the time to do it, because it's our special spring promotion where you get a 14-day free trial when you use promo code SDR14. So do that right now, and we will see you guys next week.